Welcome everybody, and let's give it a hand for Caleb and another talk on Omniflow.
Thank you. So yeah, my name is Caleb, or Caleb, as the case may be. My colleague, Dan Grinevitz, could not be here. He was going to be a co-presenter. We had a big reorganization at work and budget. We couldn't get the budget for everybody to come. But Juan Luis gave me a great introduction in the previous talk. Now I'm going to dive in a lot deeper on the rest of what's in our Rados Gateway, RGW. So I'll start with a brief overview of what Ceph is and what the pieces are, and then I'll drill down deeper into Ceph. I know the acoustics in this room are pretty bad. Can you guys all the way in the back hear me? Good. I tend to be pretty loud anyway, so what is Ceph? Ceph is fundamentally an object storage system. The basis of Ceph is something called RADOS, which stands for Reliable, Autonomous, Distributed Object Store. I think that's a backronym. I don't think it's very great, but it rolls off the tongue, so we'll go with it. Underneath RADOS, the RADOS layer talks to object storage daemons. I don't show these on this, but they would be down here. And object storage daemons would have some kind of media. Hard disk drives, SDDs, or NVMe storage to persist the data. There's a bunch of layers on top, so applications can talk using LibRados, using the LibRados API. It's not a particularly, it's not a standard API. It's the Ceph object API. I'm not aware how many people actually use LibRados. I'll come back to RADOS Gateway in a minute. Consumers of block storage like virtual machines and virtualization would use RBD to talk to LibRADOS and then RADOS. CephFS is the native POSIX-like file storage API. CephFS, There's native kernel support for CephFS, or you can use Fuse Mount. But the piece I'm really here to talk about is the RADOS Gateway, or RGW, we like to call it. This diagram's not really accurate. We could split this in half. On one side, we have the RGW daemon, the RADOS Gateway daemon, that is listening on its own port and speaks S3 and Swift protocols. Through RADOS Gateway, this talks to LibRADOS and down to the storage. The other piece that is RADOS Gateway is something called LibRGW. So this is an in-process server in a library that you can link into an application and then initiate it, and it will run its own RADOS Gateway daemon, talking down through the stack, and then ultimately to the rest, to your Ceph storage. If you have questions, just raise them immediately. We'll do a Q&A at the end. But so RADOS Gateway has right now two basic front ends: Swift and S3. S3 being the one that most people are using. This is some slideware from Ceph that I stole off a Ceph slide deck. My boss said this is a terrible slide when he reviewed this. So for the last 3 years, we've been engaged in a side project called Zipper. The idea was that we were going to unzip the implementation and break it out. So what does that really mean? So we have the ability to provide the S3 protocol capabilities to Ceph storage, but Ceph is just one example of storage that people might be using, and we thought it would be interesting and valuable. There would be a good deal of value to be able to plug in different storage underneath besides just Ceph RADOS storage. So we have We have some proof of concept and some preliminary work using Intel's Deos, Seagate's Motor, which I think is the other name for Cortex. We've plugged in a MySQL database. We have a proof of concept plugging in a MySQL database. And in order to do this, we wanted to provide a flexible API at the inside of RGW that anybody could use to write their own back-end storage. So as Juan Luis was talking, a rancher at SUSE is using this for their product, and we have, like I said, we have Intel and Seagate doing similar things. Why do we want to do this? As I already alluded, So the Ceph implementation, the Ceph RGW implementation, we think is one of the most complete S3 implementations outside of Amazon AWS. I don't know if that's right or not. We can debate that. But we do have people telling us that it's one of the best S3 implementations, one of the most complete. We have other interested parties saying they wanted to leverage our implementation somehow, and we wanted to provide the ability for developers to leverage that and plug in their own storage. I called it unzip, where we were going to basically unwrap or unzip our implementation and make it consumable for other consumers. We've developed a plug-in model or a zip model. We call it the zip model. Actually, anybody that's familiar with the Linux kernel, the VFS layer in the kernel, this is a similar concept. Or if you've seen Ganesha, NFS Ganesha, the FASAL, which stands for File System Abstraction Layer, has plugins that let you plug in different back-end storage for the NFS server. So we're doing the same thing. We're basically putting a plug-in architecture at the bottom of the Rados gateway, and we're collaborating with other people. This is one of the things we're going to do with this is actually add the ability to stack these plugins. So you could, the bottom of the stack would be something like a Rados or a Deos backend, but above that you could stack filters that could do things like that could do arbitrary, random things, like send your data off to be indexed, or compressed, or put into a cache and have a faster look-aside cache, and possibly do some cache tiering sorts of things. So the API is intended to allow the stacking of filters above the back-end storage. And what this looks like in pictures is the existing RGW up through the current, what's currently shipping, which is Quincy or Ceph 17. We have a monolithic implementation of RGW that strictly speaks libRados. And what we're doing is breaking it up. We've spent the last 3 years refactoring it, cleaning up the internal APIs, and adding the ability to write individual plugins that are loaded as shared libraries based on what a configuration file tells you or tells it. And then, as I said, so our first plugin, of course, the natural one would be a Rados driver. We also have a real proof of concept DB store that goes to MySQL, a MySQL database. We also are working with the I'm looking at Niels like he knows, he doesn't know. The Boston University and Northeastern University are collaborating with Red Hat for something called the Mass Something Initiative. If you really want to know, you can ask me later. I'll figure out what it is. And they have been taking something called D3N and expanding it into a new feature called D4N, which is a look-aside cache that helps improve performance. So these are all real in there right now, although they're not in there as plugins. They're still in there in that monolithic implementation. But that's what it would look like. Another way to look at this, so we have the protocol interface at the top, where we have S3, we have Swift. Something else we have in the pipeline is Apache Arrow Flight as a front end. These front ends are not pluggable. I'm just mentioning them here for completeness. We have the operational core implementation. We have APIs for bucket, object, user, store, and lifecycle. These get routed through the plugins, and then at the bottom we have these plugin layers that talk to the backend storage. So I'm going to show you some code. I'm not going to dive too deep into it, but I did want to at least show you the APIs are, the implementation is written in C++. We start with a base virtual class, pure base virtual class, which as the definition of the interface. We go from there to a small lightweight stub library, or not library, a stub class with some basic implementation. And then before I get ahead of myself, so here's what the pure virtual base class starts to look like. We call this class the driver class. It has a bunch of virtual methods that get filled in by the stubs and the actual implementation. So drilling down deeper, then our stub class is this subclass is this store driver based on driver. That is literally, I think, the whole class definition. Not definition, declaration. And then finally, the Rados store class, where we plug in the actual implementations that are needed to talk to the Rados store. Something like the Deos and the motor implementations look very similar, but obviously they have different class names, and they each have their own methods to fill in for the virtual methods. This is just a summary of all the different things that are in the API. So there's basically a main entry point. You instantiate the driver, or the Rados gateway reads a config file to figure out to determine which class it's going to instantiate. It loads, does a DL open, DL sim to get the entry point to the library. This creates an instance of the Rados driver class, or the Rados store class. Once we have a pointer to the instance of this instance, then we can start invoking the methods that are the virtual methods in the APIs. So we have APIs for user, bucket, object, multi-part upload, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not, the store is, as I already alluded, is a back-end storage implementation. So it sits at the bottom of the stack, and we have a base implementation defined. Filter, as I was mentioning earlier, is an optional partial implementation that you can do filtering, some kind of filtering, or caching or other modifications on the data as it goes by to the store. What Zipper is and isn't. So Zipper is a way to provide S3 or Swift object storage on top of whatever your storage is. So your storage could be a database, your storage could be Rados, it could be anything you can think of. It's a way to transform and modify stuff on the way by. So caching, you can namespace division, tracing. It's a strict layering system. Calls move down the stack and returns move back up. It's not an acyclical graph. What is Zipper not? It's not a communication bus. You can't communicate between these components. It's not a graph. There's no sideways calls across the bottom of these. And I'm not sure what I meant by there's no front end or part of the front end. Zipper isn't part of the front end. So when we talk about S3 or Swift or Aeroflight, those really aren't part of Zipper. Those are going on in parallel. The Aeroflight stuff, the Aeroflight implementation should land in Ceph 18 Reef. But that's not really what Zipper is. There's also Lua scripting coming in Reef. So where are we? We've actually been working on this for the better part of 3 years. Mostly this has been consisted of refactoring the current implementation so that we can actually accomplish this. The existing monolithic implementation was really I won't say anything bad about it. It was not very good, and it has needed a lot of cleanup. We've done, as I said, there's a prototype proof of concept DB store that we actually have working in the monolithic implementation. We have a trace driver. We have ongoing work in this D4N project, which will ultimately be a filter plugin. Object on file. Lua scripting layer, so we could have a Lua plugin, a Lua filter plugin that would allow you to write your own Lua scripts to do things to the data as it transitions up and or down the graph. So this is ongoing within Ceph. It's a part of upstream Ceph, as is the rest of RGW. RGW is in the GitHub repository. You can reach Daniel or myself at these addresses. I think that's the gist of it. Any questions? I allowed 30 minutes, and I just did it in 15. No questions.
I got one.
Yeah, yes.
With the file backend or even the DB backend, is it possible to just run it locally on a laptop too?
You could run it locally on a laptop, yeah. I mean, the DB is file. We've talked about doing a separate pure file backend or Zipper plugin. Instead of database, but the database gives us everything we want and has some good semantics. So.
And I guess I could plug SQLite into that as well.
You could. Oh, I'm supposed to repeat the question. So the first question was, could you do a file backend? And I just answered that. And sorry,
SQLite?
The plugin is currently written with MySQL, but you could probably pretty easily refactor it to use any database you want. No other questions?
Well, thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.